in Paul's great epistle to the Romans, after he declares the wonderful gospel of God and how we have been redeemed through the work of Christ, he could say this in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. He speaks about how we should respond to that. And he says this, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove that will what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect." This is the word of the Lord. As I mentioned this morning, we're moving back into our series on Philippians. And so if you have bought your Bibles, I hope you do, then I'd encourage you to turn to the book of Philippians. And again, I want to invite you and in glad that you're here again at this drive-in service. And as I said, we're hoping in future weeks to we may continue to stay outside, although I know the weather is warm for some. But we're hoping that we'll be able to be out on lawn chairs and that sort of thing and be able to have more interaction and a little more freedom by being outside. If you're listening online, I want to welcome you as well. And as I said, we're returning for the next few weeks to our series on the book of Philippians. The title that we've given to this series is Unchained. Living in the freedom of joy. And that's the title we've given to it, even though we know that Paul, in fact, was in chains. He was in chains in a Roman prison, and he was facing a trial before Roman authorities. And even in the midst of all that, the Apostle Paul could speak about having joy. The word joy or the verb rejoice is repeated all through this epistle. It's both Paul expressing his own experience and encouraging us to rejoice as well. And so even though we're in this, everybody was hoping that 2021 would be easier than 2020, and yet we're still in this trial of COVID-19. It seems like things are improving, but for many it's been a struggle, and we may wonder how do we break free in the midst of experiencing struggles in our lives, things that we don't want and that are beyond our control. Can we still experience genuine joy? And the Apostle Paul would say to us, not only can we must. And it is through this epistle that God points the way, I believe, to us. Today we're in chapter 4. A chapter that has a series of short commandments. We're going to be focusing on verses 4 chapter 4, verse 8 and verse 9. But to put the passage in its context, I want to go back to chapter 3 and verse 20, and I will read 3:20 through to 4 and verse 8. Philippians chapter 3. And beginning at verse 20. "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of his glory by the exertion of the power that he has even to subject all things to himself. Therefore, my beloved brothers and sisters, whom I long to see, my joy and my crown, in this way stand firm in the Lord, my beloved. I urge Euodia and I urge Syntyche to live in harmony in the Lord. Indeed, true companion, I ask you also to help these women who have shared my struggle in the cause of the gospel, together with Clement also, and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. The things you have heard and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. This is the word of the Lord. Well, about a month ago when we were in the book of Philippians, Jamie was tackling Philippians 1, verse 1 to 3, and looking at that great important issue of unity within the church. There had been some division in the church in Philippi, and Paul encourages them towards unity. And then we moved into the last part of the book of Philippians, where I mentioned that there is a series of short but very important commands. This is typical in many of Paul's letters. He begins with the doctrine and then with some practical exhortations. And then as we come to the end, he often has these short commands that he gives. That direct us, and these ones in chapter 4, I believe, direct us towards maturity in the Christian faith. They are in many ways keys to Christian health and maturity. And so we're going to continue to consider them. We've already considered in the past verses 4 and 5, where Paul exhorts the Philippians and us to continually rejoice and to make known how reasonable we are in our treatment of other people. And rejoicing, we saw, can't be related to our circumstances, because Paul was in that difficult circumstance of being in prison. And these Philippian believers were not having an easy time because they were a part of a Roman colony where and under the power of Rome, where also they were challenged to call Caesar Lord, not Jesus, as Lord. And yet this rejoicing in the Lord, and trusting God, that God is at work, is what we need to do. And we can rest in Him and find our joy in Him. And we considered that when we rejoice in God, then we're able to show gentleness, restraint, and kindness towards others. We can deal reasonably with them when we accept what God is bringing into our lives and we rejoice in the midst of it. Then in verse 6 and 7, we saw a related command and the very positive result that comes from it. We talked about the fact that even it's one thing to rejoice in difficult circumstances, but what do we do when our minds start to get filled with troubling thoughts? And we can't always just turn those thoughts off. However, we can bring those anxious thoughts to God. We can let our requests be made known to God. We can unload all that trouble on Him. In fact, we're commanded to do that. And in connection with that, we're also encouraged to be thankful. And the result of bringing our requests to God is that He promises to give us His peace. Now this morning we turn to our primary text, verse 8 and 9, and the title of this message that I've given is Keys to Christian Health, and those key and two more of those keys are to meditate and to mimic. Mental health issues have been on the rise. We've been talking about that in some of these weeks. And last time we were in this text, I spoke to you about it, the fact that many people are struggling. In fact, it was just this week I talked to a dear friend of mine, somebody that I've known for over 30 years, and we've been trying to struggle to resurrect some of our understanding of Hebrew and working with Hebrew because of some studies he's doing and things I'm hoping to be able to do and teaching overseas as well and keeping fresh in some of those things. Well, he has a daughter who is a medical doctor. And she had been on maternity leave, had to go back to work because some of her staff just didn't, were just overwhelmed. And when she went back to work, one of the things that she was finding is that almost all of the patients that have been coming to see her don't really have physical health issues. Most of their issues are related to mental health. And so this is, and yet they were coming to her, a medical doctor, not a specialist in mental health issues. She's a general practitioner or in family medicine. And yet the reason is almost certainly because the mental health practitioners are overrun. And we see in verse 6 and 7 that Paul commands us that worrying is not what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to stop worrying, but bring our worries before the Lord in prayer. And we have the promise that he will guard our hearts and minds with his peace. But there's some other commands that Paul gives here that really are important, I think, as well, not for our spiritual well-being and for our mental health. And those first of those commands we have in verse 8, and that is the idea of meditating on the right things. Paul makes it clear that there are some things that we should pay particular attention to with our minds. And so he could say this in verse 8, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. And here again he says, finally, because he is drawing, he said it earlier that he was drawing to the end of his epistle and then he continued to write, but now he truly is drawing to the end of his epistle. And so he says, finally, brothers and sisters, these are the last words I want to say to you. These are important things that I want to say to you. And then we have this phrase, whatever is, whatever is, whatever is, and it's repeated six times with six adjectives describing the things that are most important for our, or things that we should focus our mind on. And what he's going to say is that we should dwell on these things, or another way to say that is that we should meditate or ponder these things, because the word that he uses there, NASB translate as dwell, is the idea of reckoning or counting or considering and adding up something up. It's the word reckon that it's used in a number of places in Paul's epistle. It's the idea of allowing our minds to ponder and ponder and ponder and calculate and think, and how does this work out into my life? How am I meant to understand these things? So it's not just that these things enter our minds and that we give some thought to them, but we're really meant to ponder them, to meditate on them. Meditation means running things over in our mind again and again. And when we meditate on something, we're looking for the outcome, the practical outworking of, okay, now if these things are true, how do I respond to them? How does this translate into how I live my life? That's meditation, thinking deeply on things until our minds are clear about things, and then until it affects our heart or our emotions, our affections, and so that we have different desires, and then it's carried out in our will through action. And so this is what is in mind here. And he says there's a number of things that we should think about, number of things that we should meditate on, spend our time thinking about. And this list that he gives of these six items, I want you to think about them in terms of being sort of a mental colander. If you know what a colander is, you know, it has holes in it, and it's a big bowl, and you'll strain things out. Perhaps if you're washing vegetables and you clean them and you want to wash away all the dirt, but you want to keep those vegetables, you would wash them perhaps in a colander or maybe a strainer that even filters out finer things that here the idea that the Apostle Paul gives is that when all we can't stop all the information that comes into our mind, but that what we need to do is filter out the things that don't matter, just let them pass through like water and fine particles through a strainer or through a colander until they're gone and we don't retain them anymore. Instead, we should retain and ponder only the things of value, only the things that are going to help us to know God better and help us in our lives. So what things should we meditate on or think about? Things that are true. That's what he starts with. We shouldn't be thinking about so much about things that are fantasy or things that are untrue, but things that are real and things that are genuine. Those are the things we should really focus on. And think about. So that would be the first test, is what I'm thinking about. What's just entered my mind? Is that true? And if it's true, okay, think about the implications of it. Why is it true? Something might be true, but it might not be a very good, it might not be honorable. It might not be something dignified. It might be something that's disturbing. It's true, but it's disturbing. It's not a healthy thing to think about, or not a good thing to think about. Then you get rid of that. It might be true and it might be honorable, and if it's that, it should also be just. We need to think of the things that are upright, the things that are fair, the things that are just. In that sense, he says that those are the things that we should ponder. See, we live in a society where we have an enormous amount of information that enters our mind every day. You know, when I was young, you know, what did you turn to if you didn't know something? You'd try to maybe go to a set of encyclopedias or something if it was that had general information, if you had a set and if they were up to date. What do people do now? They Google, right? That's what they do, Google. And when they Google, they find, you know, the links to websites with information. And, of course, some of that information is trustworthy and good. Some of it, maybe not. But that's what we do. And we're in the information age where we have not only books, but we have blogs. We have not only newspapers, but we have newsletters that are on the Internet. We have TV media. And then we have that thing called social media, you know, where people just post anything at all. Their own thoughts, whether they've taken much time to think clearly about things or not. People put absolute nonsense on social media, and they get into arguments and debates and all that. And we can look at some of those things, or those things can pop up on our devices or our computers or whatever. And all of this is constantly entering into our mind, and it's very, very hard to block out all the information that comes our way. And when we have all that information and we start to ponder those things, and it's not things that are true or honorable or just, that's when we can become more anxious, and that's when we're not necessarily trusting in the Lord and growing in Him, because our minds are dwelling on the wrong things. And the Apostle Paul is trying to say to us here, when you're going to be thinking, that's just what we do. We can't turn our minds off. So what are you going to think about? Get rid of the things that don't matter. Think on the things that are good. What other things? Things that are pure. Things that are chaste, that are innocent. We live in a society where there's so much that is impure, so much sexual immorality that we're exposed to it. We can be exposed to it through commercials and other media and writings and all sorts of things. But if it's things that are sexually impure, we might hear it or see it and accidentally or whatever way. Well, then just try to get it out of our minds. That's not something we should dwell on or think about. But we should think about the things that are pure, the things that are chaste, things that are innocent, things that are morally pure. Think about things that are lovely, things that are pleasing and agreeable. There's so many things that are lovely, that are wonderful to think about and to ponder. And so look for those things that are lovely, things that are pure and agreeable, that we would call lovely. Whatever is of good repute, so things that are praiseworthy or admirable, things that everybody would admire and think are good, think about those things. Now, I want you to understand that this list is not a list that's meant to restrict us so that we can't enjoy life. No, this is a matter, this list is there to help us focus our thoughts on the things that matter, things that are pleasing to God and things that are helpful. Think of it this way. You've got only so many hours in a day, in a month, in a year. And you have only so much time to devote to things like reading. You know, there's a ton of garbage books out there that don't have any of these characteristics that I've mentioned. And there are many volumes of literature that are worth reading and considering, that are valuable, that are important. So why would we waste our time, precious hours, reading garbage? Reading things that don't edify us, encourage us, that are just nonsense or that are trivial, that are unimportant. Why would we do that? And so the Apostle Paul would say to us here, why allow our minds to dwell on thoughts that are not beneficial or pleasing to God? And so he says, if there is anything that is of good virtue, he summarizes it by saying, if there's anything that is of excellence in the sense of being virtuous, and if there is anything that is worthy of praise, that is praiseworthy, think on those things. Think on those things. And that statement, think on those things, is in the present tense, and it's durative. So the idea is that Paul is wanting believers like us to develop good thought habits, to continue to meditate on good things, not just once in a while, but all the time, that what we think about, our thought life, is extremely important in directing us to who we are, but also in determining our mental health. Think and continue to think on the good things. And so I encourage you today and perhaps this week to spend some time evaluating what you take into your mind and what you spend your time thinking about. And maybe one of the things we need to do is slow down so that we can spend some time thinking. Mark Toman, one of the elders at Grand River Community Church, I know different times he tries to redeem the time by thinking about times when he's doing sort of menial tasks. You know, and we've got people that cut the grass here, you know, and you can see we've got a lot of grass. Takes a while to cut. You know, I have no idea what our grass cutters do when they're on their lawnmower, when they're on our big lawnmower racing around on this lawn, or what you do when you're cutting grass, or maybe when you're washing dishes, or maybe when you're cooking. And if you don't need to entirely focus on what you're doing, what a great time to think and ponder maybe the passage of scripture that you've read. Or verses that you're memorizing, but taking time to ponder. And we need to slow down enough to be people that are thinking, that we're not just information overload, but we're not really thinking through the things that we're taking into our minds. Paul encourages us to do that. Get rid of the things that don't matter. Think on the things that do. And yet Paul is not just concerned that we have good thoughts. Those thoughts should carry over into good actions. And to help us with that, he gives another command, that we are to mimic the right persons or the right example. And so he could say this in verse 9, the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the peace of God will be with you. The things that you've learned, it's the same verb form that we get the noun disciple. And a disciple is a learner, somebody who is learning. And so Paul says, the things that you're learning from me, the information of Scripture, the things that you have heard from me, those things you need to put into practice. But not only is it things that they have, that they've learned from him, it's things they have received. And that is sort of a technical term that the Apostle Paul uses it in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, that what I received, I also pass on to you. The authoritative teaching of the apostles, that's the idea there. So the word of God and the authoritative teaching, those things that that I've received, that I've given to you, that we receive every time we pick up our Bible and read it and consider it, put those things into practice. Think on those things and then put those things into practice. But then more than that, he says, the things that you've heard. So the idea is that these are words that Paul has given to them. Paul is not distant from these Philippian believers that he's writing this friendship letter to. He has been their friends. He has been the one that planted this church, but he's also continues to be their friends. We indicated that this was a friendship letter with positive, encouraging exhortations. And Paul says, you heard some things from me over time. You heard right from my lips. Point those things, put those things into practice. But not only that, they had seen it. What you've seen in me. And how valuable and precious that is. These people witnessed the Apostle Paul's life. In other words, he was with them. He did things with them so that they could see, excuse me, the type of person he was, how he lived, how the goodness of God and all of these things that he thought about worked out into practice. They were able to see it lived out by Paul. They were able to participate in that. And he says, these things put into practice. And again, it's a present tense, and the implication is it's habitual. What should the normal practice of our lives be? It should be mimicking the right persons, the right example. And so we have the scriptures to learn from, and they are authoritative teaching that we've received. But the idea here is that we would have a teacher to guide us, like the Apostle Paul guided the Philippians. So the implication here is that we would have somebody to mentor or to guide us, someone we can hear from, somebody that we can see that where this is lived out. And the implication is that today we need good members, people who can teach, good mentors, people who can teach us biblical truth, people that are living and breathing, people that we can hear, people that we can see. And the idea is close interaction. This has been difficult in the last year and a half because of COVID. We haven't been able to get together as much to do that. At Grand River Community Church, we hope that you'll receive part of that, people that can mentor you and that you can mentor through small groups. It's part of the reason why we do small groups, so that we can get close together with other believers and we can rub off on each other, influence each other, help each other in a good way. We're also hoping to develop in more ways catechism and discipleship material and develop those who can mentor others while they themselves are being mentored. We should have somebody mentoring, guiding us. We should be mentoring others. This is a good thing. And this is what the Apostle Paul's talking about here. The things that you receive from me, that you learn from me, that you have heard but also seen in me, those things you should do. Now, I would encourage you in the meantime to find people you can be close with who will help you show how to live the Christian life. You probably know somebody that's been a Christian longer than you, maybe somebody that you admire that is living a good life and a godly life. And I would encourage you to come alongside them and said, would you show me? Would you let me spend some time with you? Would you guide me into how you've come to live this way and to understand this Christian life? Would you help me? And so I encourage you to do it. And Paul says to live it. This is what we need to do. Live it out, to regularly practice these things. So not only are we to make it a habit of meditating on biblical truth and taking it in and all of those things that are true and lovely and of good report, all the things that we mentioned, things that are praiseworthy, things that are pure and honorable. Not only that, but we are to put those things into practice in terms of how we live. What we think about, meditate on, ponder should ultimately work out into our lives. But it begins with our thought life. If we're not thinking the right way, it's almost impossible to live the right way. So we need to have our thought life right first. But then God in His grace can help it to work out into the practice of every day as He works in us by His Spirit. We're definitely in challenging times. I really believe that God is shaking the whole world through this COVID-19. We've seen it, and there's no doubt that it's His purpose. He's sovereign, so none of this is a surprise to Him. The result is that many of our comforts and socialization that we've enjoyed has been taken away. And we're likely to feel anxious about many things in these days. So what do? The Apostle Paul says, focus our minds on the things that are pleasing to God. Really think deeply about those things. and let the other things just go from our minds. And then we need to find someone that we can, that is a Christ follower, that really is living that life. Somebody that we can look up to, somebody that can be a positive spiritual influence on our lives and follow their example. That's what the Apostle Paul encourages us to do here, to meditate and to mimic for his glory. So let's sing together one more song. We are here to worship. Every day of our lives should be to worship the Lord God. And part of that means thinking clearly. And so let's sing together, "Here I Am," to worship. Father, we thank you today that as we gather, we are those who have been redeemed and rescued by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, any and all who believe on your name. And you know us, and you know that there are times, even this week, where we've had anxious thoughts. Perhaps we've allowed our minds to dwell on things that we should not. Father, thank you that we don't have to stay focused on the guilt of our sin, of wrong thought life and maybe wrong actions, but that because of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are forgiven, pardoned. And so, Father, we pray that you'd help us to start fresh today, knowing that we're cleansed, knowing that we're yours, if we're trusting in Jesus Christ. And then, Father, would you help us, by your grace, when evil thoughts arise, to be able to turn those aside, to be able instead to focus on the things that you would teach us, the things of your word, to meditate and ponder on those, so that our minds can be clear and we won't be tormented by so many things that affect our society and that overwhelm people. But our minds can be clear. And then that with those clear thoughts, we can see clearly how we need to live. Father, I pray you'd give us a compassionate concern for each other as brothers and sisters in Christ, that we would show each other how to live, that we'd help our brothers and sisters to learn to see and to hear in us the truths that you're working out. And may in every way you be glorified. And may you be honored amongst those that call themselves Grand River Community Church. And Father, not just for us, but Father, we think of this entire community and those that are the other churches that are here in Center Wellington that are offering your gospel. Lord, we pray that you would shower your blessing on them, that your Father, we need your Holy Spirit to work in power in these days. We know that you're working, but our desire is to see you do an extraordinary work that would glorify your name, that you draw many people to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, we ask these things in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. That concludes our service. So glad that you're able to be with us. We'll be, Lord willing, back here next Sunday. And we may have, during the week, some good news that maybe we can get out of our vehicles a little bit more to visit and maybe even sit out on lawn chairs, that sort of thing. And you may want to bring umbrellas or something like that along if it's a hot day like today, and sunscreen and all those kinds of things. But we encourage you to come back and join with us in our drive-in services. God bless you.